Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
We can leverage technology to really have a different relationship with patients and help them really get to wellness. But as we extrapolate out into the next 5 years and future decades, is what kind of business do we need to be? And I think every company needs to be thinking of this because the role of technology is completely changing what we can do. We're starting to look much more upstream and downstream into that full value chain that you so often talk about, Andrew.
Good. So welcome. My name is Andrew Gall. I've been 20 years now in corporate venturing, innovation and corporate change. And we'll hear from Cindy sort of in a moment. We'll have introductions. If you could please stay muted and unmute when we're asking questions and that later. I'm going to give a brief context, but the main talk for today is from Cindy, talking really about health and pharmaceutical sort of digital future. While we're going through the discussion, please feel free to post in the chat any comments or questions and that you might have. And then once Cindy and I have done our sort of fireside or video sort of type chat, we'll go into opening up for more questions and sort of interaction. And certainly I find this, and I think Cindy will find the questions from you as interesting as what we want to blab about. So we'll just really want to set some context, and we'd like then to have some interaction. We are recording this first part of the discussion, and we will be posting that on our video channel called Purpose to Performance, where you'll see that we've had previously Merck speaking, Shell as well, sort of speaking for those who are interested in Shell. And we've also got some upcoming programs. For those of you who've got your cameras handy and you're looking at the screen, you can just point your camera up at the QR codes, and that will take you now to the to the channels and to the event. Hopefully the upcoming ones, we have a strategic innovation and venturing program, which is going to go into more depth about the innovative new value chains and purpose to performance that I've been working with corporates, including some of the companies that Cindy's worked with in the past. We're running a workshop on that, and end of March, we have a case study, which is with video content from Unilever and Unilever Ventures, and one of the ventures that they had invested in. So we're going to be talking in more depth about corporate venture capital in that context. So what are some of the key changes we're seeing in industries and in technologies? And I just want to give some brief examples here to tee up for Cindy, really. This is an example within a space that I've been working with for some time now around electric vehicles and distributed energy. If you sort of say our current infrastructure is about large power stations and about internal combustion engine cars, yes, we've got some energy saving devices, but when we get into this third horizon, we're going to see a massive transformation when we've got millions of electric cars without petrol stations and distributed energy storage. So digital things are going to transform this to the automotive and the energy industry. We're seeing digital has transformed retail from traditional retail stores to just going online for e-commerce. But how is that going to transition when we have virtual reality, when we have pop-up stores? What's the new things that's going to happen with technology and business models changing in that sector? We're seeing things changing with in financial services, consulting, administrative sort of type jobs, when computers are going to be talking to each other and financial transactions happen by themselves. And in the health sector, we're going to be talking and getting more insights from Cindy. My view of it is we're probably going to move from not necessarily a health industry, but a sickness industry. We're waiting until people get sick and then we put them into hospitals. And now we've got lots of different active pharmaceutical ingredients, digital devices, and new therapies. But what happens when we overlay digital platforms onto that for the creation of the health services, but then also monitoring people's health and their wellness? And can we use data to drive better outcomes rather than just having a big machine in a hospital or just having an ingredient, active pharmaceutical ingredient, to actually solve a problem once it's sort of occurred. So I think there's going to be transformations in health similar to these other industries. And I outlined in a book 3 or 4 years ago now, which has been built on work that I've done, say over 20 years, on what I term innovative new value chains. So this is about how when you bring technologies together and you bring startups together and you bring corporates together, you can create something that's magical or quite different. And whether you've got a device that might be an electric car or it might be a health monitoring device, and then you take data into the cloud and you can process it with artificial intelligence and big data, and you can change the finance model. So you're not just selling a car or selling an active pharmaceutical ingredient. Maybe you're selling a service. Maybe you're selling on outcomes. And the relationship with the customer and the consumer now and the patient is radically changing. So you're not just buying a product. You may be buying a whole sort of enhanced package sort of type service. And the other perspective I got on this really is coming from the global perspective, because we're going to see, you know, great scientific discoveries in the pharmaceutical sector in England. We're going to see great data work happening in, you know, in the US. We're going to see great devices manufactured and created in Asia. And how do we bring all of those things together? So it's going to be a global challenge for startups, for corporates, and for society, really, in how we bring these sort of innovations together. So I've talked briefly about, you know, connected cars and the new value chains that are going to disrupt industries there, the oil industries, the car industry. And in the health sector, we're going to see, and Cindy's going to talk about it here regarding sort of AstraZeneca, but a previous talk I've done with Bill Taranto from Merck, he talked about on a previous event on having an ECG health monitoring device on a patient, which is radically different than what a pharmaceutical company would have developed sort of within the past. So, you know, some of these thoughts I've raised in my book previously, in my book, so feel free to go and have a look at those, and they're on Eventbrite and that as well. So, Cindy, welcome. Thank you. Hopefully I've teed up some topics and that there that you
I've got so much going through my mind. I hope I can get the clarity to get a point out, because I was thinking of so many different things as you were talking. So
first of all, let's go back and just kick off and introduce yourself a little bit about your background and what a chief digital officer and a CIO does. It'd be great to give us some context on that first.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. Great to spend some time with you. My name is Cindy Hoots. I think in terms of background, I am originally from Trinidad and Tobago. For all of the Shell families on the call, my father worked for Shell for 30 years, and I was born on the Shell camp in Trinidad. So have some connections with some of you there. I moved to the U.S. when I was young, did all my schooling in the U.S., have my degree in computer information systems, was quite technical and a programmer. I've done many of the jobs that we see in the IT world. I've worked and lived in four continents. I most recently was at Unilever and spent the better part of my career in consumer goods, although I have worked in healthcare early in my career in hospital systems, as well as kind of high-tech manufacturing and military and defense. So kind of come with a broad spectrum of industries, although I'm new to the pharmaceutical industry, having joined AstraZeneca last January. So some of you will have far more experience in this sector than I do. But I think in terms of, for me, what a chief digital officer and a chief information officer really do is think about how we can leverage technology as a competitive advantage to our companies. And you know, in some companies, you may have separate roles. You have a chief digital officer, typically often connected to the marketing function. And in some companies, it's a combined role like mine, which is probably more focused on how do we leverage technology and digital across the enterprise, and understanding the tight correlation between how you make a digital step change as well as leveraging technology. So maybe I'll pause there and let you go into some questions.
Yeah, great. So in terms of the context I set there, Cindy, in terms of sort of saying that digital is going to enable some of the current business sort of models, how are you seeing it in your sector now, how it's going to transform, you know, how you're actually doing your work, either in the operational side, but or your patient sort of outcomes? How are you seeing that transformation?
Yeah, I think pharmaceuticals is kind of coming into line with maybe where the financial sector or the transportation sector or the consumer goods sector has been over the last several years. And so much more of a focus on patient centricity as it relates to digital. I mean, we've always had patient centricity in terms of the products we produce, et cetera. But I think what we're starting to realize is that as an industry, as a sector, we can leverage technology to really have a different relationship with patients and help them really get to wellness. And you talked about, you know, the different stages when you were doing your discussion. I think for every company, you need to think about, you know, what is the next generation of the business you're in? And so today, you know, when we think of it from an industrial revolution perspective, you know, we were in the medicine manufacturing business. But as we extrapolate out into the next 5 years and future decades, is what kind of business do we need to be? And I think every company needs to be thinking of this because the role of technology is completely changing what we can do. And so I think for me, when I think about it, it's how do we help people with their well-being? You know, not just helping them when they're sick, but what can we do to participate in their day-to-day life and help them avoid illnesses. So part of it is we're starting to look much more upstream and downstream into that full value chain that you so often talk about, Andrew, about how do we partner with, you know, healthcare systems? How do we look at iHospital? So in China, we're now involved in an internet hospital. So how do you give care digitally? And I don't know if any of you have, you know, had any telemedicine visits with your doctors during this COVID time, but all of a sudden, areas that we never thought technology could replace face-to-face, we're finding that in certain circumstances it can. And so what we're really starting to build out is an end-to-end partnership and integration across that entire value stream, all the way from the beginning aspects of, you know, healthcare systems, through, you know, our core business and down into much more patient engagement and the way in which you can help the patient, whether it's an app or, you know, a sensor on a pill bottle, to really start to ensure that if they are on a medical regime that they're following it, but also how do you help them understand the trigger point? So can we help inform them about air quality to manage asthma, right? So all of a sudden, we can extend the adjacencies of our core business.
And what are you seeing as the changes there with how you're engaging with the, how you engage from giving these bits of kit out? You know, there's going to be devices, there's going to be data sort of happening in the cloud, which I think is probably the traditional CTO sort of type role. How are you dealing with that bit first? Then we can move on to sort of talking about, well, actually, this is more than just giving bits of kit out. How are you doing with those aspects?
I mean, I think for me, it's about how do you think about things as true patient centricity? And what I mean by that is how can you become relevant every day in real time in a patient's life? You know, and there's different regulations. So, you know, you need to take into account what's permissible in different countries. But if you think about, if I just equate it to Uber, I just moved back from London, I didn't own the car. And I relied on, you know, transportation as a service. And I was able to interface with Uber every day in real time. I could, you know, they knew where I was, they knew where I was going, they knew how I wanted to get there. And I think we're going to start seeing those same correlations in our industry around how can we know what the patient is going through, how can we help enable them to monitor end to end their well-being, where for so many of us in our companies, you know, think about just the way your brands interact with your consumer or patient. It's by brand, but a patient or a consumer might use multiple brands. So how do you come to them in a much more holistic way? And I think that's one of the ways that we can really start to leverage digital and move away from point solutions into a much more integrated, holistic kind of dialogue and relationship.
How are you finding the change in business models with this, though? Because, you know, to take the car example I was talking about earlier, that, you know, I've been working with oil companies, and, you know, their remit has been selling more hydrocarbons. Yeah. You know, for a pharmaceutical company, it's, well, how many more pills can we sort of sell, sort of stuff like that. Whereas you could have an intervention on the data side, which means that, you know, you don't need to travel as far, so you're not going to burn as much hydrocarbons. You know, you're not going to get sick, so you don't need those. How are you challenging with that dilemma? Because a lot of these business models are going to be disrupted by these types of things.
Yeah, and we're facing it as well as so many industries. So for us, we're starting to really look into, how do you get to outcome-based pricing? So not how many pills do you sell, but did you have the desired effect? And did you get the outcome? And then you're paid as a company based on the outcome. So imagine that's going to create even more dependence on, you know, if you're taking medicine, but, you know, my vice is sugar. If you're diabetic and you're taking your medicine, but you're eating too much sugar, then you're not going to get the desired outcome. So how do we treat you as a whole person and look at not only the medical aspects of your care, but the behavioral aspects of that care? And so I think it's forcing us to think far more broadly, you know, across what are all the factors that lead to well-being or, you know, lead to good care.
And I guess that brings us into the organizational change. And as chief digital officer, chief innovation officer, you know, that your sort of role in doing this, how do you get your organization to be more agile and focus on that outcome as opposed to a previous one might have just been producing more tablets? How are you getting this agile organization and the change in the people aspect as well as the technology?
So I think so many people on this call would recognize that a digital transformation is probably predominantly a cultural transformation. The tech itself has been around now for a number of years. 5 years ago, when I talked externally about digital transformation, we were much more focused on the technology. You know, what can I do with blockchain, and is AI going to be viable, et cetera. And I think what we've found now is those technologies by and large are fairly proven. So to really get the step change, to get the exponential impact that, you know, is there as a promise, it's about how do people embrace it and think about things differently. So there's a concept around responsive organization that for me is one of the big steps on any digital transformation. And you have to think about the policies, the practices, and the ways of working that allow you to go from doing digital to being digital. Right. So in a phase of doing digital, oftentimes you'll start with the technology. You think about individual initiatives. How can, you know, we introduce something, at a digital level? When the organization actually transforms and learns to work differently, then digital becomes pervasive in everything you do. And that's why L&D and your learning components are so important. And I would say, in the last year, I've probably spent a disproportionate amount of time with HR as part of our digital transformation, because we have to get people ready and in the right mindset to embrace these kind of changes. So we've been doing things around, digital academies for the 77,000 people that work here, so that we can lift the floor on people's overall knowledge. And then through different initiatives, starting to demonstrate. And I think people often need tangible examples in their company, in their industry, that this applies. One of the things I hear most often is like, oh yeah, I see how that works in consumer goods, but we're different, right? And so I think one of the things we need to do as leaders is say, how can we help people on this journey to buy in to what it means for them and their job? And we do that by, you know, taking parts of the organization, really starting to focus on this agile way of working, and showing how it allows you to be much more responsive. But there's another step that I think we need to take, particularly if you work at a big company. Think about your procurement processes. If you want to work with a lot of startups, they rarely have the cash flow to have 90-day payment terms. So if you want to work with startups, you got to work with your procurement organization to say, how do we have policies and procedures that allow us to pay much more quickly than, you know, it might be that you have to pay every 2 weeks, which again, might be very different. Thinking about your finance practices, you know, we go through these large, you know, kind of annual budget cycles, but things are changing so fast. And I think all of us realized that in 2020 is all the big plans we had kind of went out the window as the world radically changed in a matter of weeks. And so how do you go to investment pots where you call off money throughout the year and you do your business case development closer to the point that you're ready to start, because then you have a better idea of A, what you want to do and if you're going to do it in the first place. So there's lots of those kinds of changes. On the HR side, you got to think about how do you leverage a gig economy, right? Most of our large scale companies incent on a salary, on a short-term incentive, and then a long-term stock incentive. But many of the new kind of digital workers, they're not going to be with you for 10 years. So how do you attract them? How do you compensate them when most of our kind of environments are built around a long-term stock incentive? So I think we've got to really think about it from all aspects to really move the needle.
Yeah, I think that builds on a point that Todd just posted here, sort of say, which is you just touched on here about the new normal regarding this supporting work of leveraging contractors, freelance workers, consulting firms, simultaneously working in that sort of agile space. There was an earlier comment as well from Kate, which is I think also somebody relating to the data aspects. So I guess that's the next step in the sort of discussion here. So while your organization could be agile, how do you think we're going to change, you know, regulations, change governments, change perspectives from the patient? Because to give better outcomes, we've got to change the way we're doing things and sort of stuff like that. So any thoughts or insights around that?
Yeah, working with different regulators, not only do you have to influence the whole healthcare environment, but think about a regulated business. You know, when we're producing medicines, we do that on what we call validated systems. And those systems are well documented and they're part of the overall approval process. So how do you deal with systems that have been approved, you know, computer systems that have been approved, but now through AI, they're self-evolving. So we're starting to think about how do we talk to regulators about what do we do in this new world? As the AI continues to evolve the way the system works, it's no longer part of that original validated system. So, you know, there's such a complexity both on the IT side, but as well as the whole end-to-end system. And I think one of the things I've been pretty impressed with having been here for the last 12 months is the amount of partnerships that we have end to end. And I would say in some ways, you know, our industry has worked in a partnership environment for a very long time. Where we can strengthen is how do we have more partners on the tech side? But I think as a company, to see those partnerships and the integration is really impressive. It's stronger than other industries I've worked in.
Great. Okay, so one more maybe from me, and then certainly we'll open it up for questions that have come through on the comments. So if you've got any more questions or comments, please post those in, and we'll open up to some more sort of discussion around the place. So you've talked about the technologies, we've talked about making the agile organization. One comment has come from the geography sort of perspective. What are you seeing? You know, you're based in DC at the moment, which is Washington, DC. So very exciting time, all things that are happening there last week and next week. But how are you seeing the global perspective, like I touched on, sort of saying about where data is, where devices are, how the relationship with the customer might be different? What's your global perspective on this, Cindy?
Yeah, I mean, I think, gosh, in some ways it's contradictory. On one hand, I think what we're seeing is the value we get from scalable data, right? Where we can start to draw new correlations that we couldn't previously do. And I know one of the big advancements for us is, you know, the quantity of data that we, you know, have and need to go through. We're able to now see advancements in drug discovery, clinical trial work, et cetera, because we can now process, you know, large volumes of data in a time that would previously have been too time consuming for a human brain to undertake. And so I think we've got a real opportunity to really look at multiple data sources around the world and say, how can we draw new correlations from that? At the same time, more on the IT side of the house of, you know, how much data do you collect? Where do you store it? Government regulations around, they want their citizens' data, retained in their own, country. I remember talking to one of our big providers about 2 years ago and saying, you know, one of the scales we get from using SaaS-based systems is, you know, the fact that, you know, they can house our data and it's all together in a location, whether that's the Ireland data center or, you know, Singapore, et cetera. But as more and more countries start to demand that their data is held within the country, like, what does that do to the SaaS-based models? Are they still affordable enough if they have to, you know, duplicate their data centers, et cetera? So I think there's a multi-aspect to the data dilemma. But again, I think as we start to leverage tools like AI, we'll be able to process, you know, far more data than we ever were and really get to insights. Because I think up to now, we've got lots of information, but it's been harder to really turn it into insights. And what should you do with it going forward?
Great. Thanks for that. So let's open up for some questions.
I think there are more and more we're seeing companies willing to come together to tackle some of those. I'm doing some work right now with the city of Cambridge and a few different companies up there on how we can tackle some infrastructure concerns between London and Cambridge.
Great,
thanks.
Great discussion. Thank you, Cindy. And I think that sort of sums it up there from when we started talking about how do we bring together the technologies, the different business models, how do we have better outcomes and that from the consumers and the patients. And certainly we've worked together in the past on this, and as I've sort of said, working in these sort of electric vehicles, sustainability, health outcomes sort of type things is a big challenge on how you coordinate those. So there are some massive points of discussion here that Anthony's touched on, Zach touched on, Kit touched on that earlier, and you've given us. So that's fantastic. So thank you very much for your time. That's been fantastic.
You're welcome, and thanks for all the great
round
questions.
Of applause and that from everybody in that round the around
well, I think it was a group effort. Well,
yeah, no, the interaction was fantastic. So so as to remind people, we will be publishing the video from the key parts that Cindy talked about, not to all the sort of discussions, and we'll be making that available for you to share with your colleagues. Welcome you all to join other sort of discussions, and as Cindy said, thinking other people's boxes and thinking about other industries are being impacted might also give you insights for your the dilemmas we talked about today. So thank you all very much. I look forward to all seeing you again. Feel free to reach out to me or Cindy if you've got particular things that you want to share. So thank you all very much.
Take care, everyone.
Take care. Excellent job, Cindy. Great seeing you.
Thank you. Take care.
Please subscribe to future podcasts and please give us a 5-star rating on your platform. Thank you.